Books of the Bible. 1 Samuel tells the story of God's interaction with Israel through the prophet Samuel. When Israel asked for an earthly king, God gave them Saul, who, like Israel, drifted from God's law. So God commanded Samuel to anoint a new king, David, who was a man after God's heart. God does not look on the outward appearance, but on the heart. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What does this button do?
Oh! Which one of you can prove that I'm guilty of sin?
The Gospel of John!
If I tell the truth, then why do you not believe me? He who comes from God listens to God's words. You, however, are not from God. And that is why you will not listen.
Were we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon in you?
I have no demon. I honor my father, but you dishonor me. I am not seeking honor for myself, but there is one who is seeking it and who judges in my favor. I am telling you the truth. Whoever obeys my teaching will never die.
Now we know for sure that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets died. Yet you say that whoever obeys your teaching will never die.
Our father Abraham died. You do not claim to be greater than Abraham, do you?
And the prophets also died. Who do you think you are?
If I were to honor myself, that honor would be worth nothing. The one who honors me is my father, the very one you say is your God. You have never known him, but I know. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him, and I obey his word. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced that he was to see the time of my coming. He saw it and was glad.
You are not even 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham.
Get ready.
I am telling you the truth. Before Abraham was born,
that'll do it. This is Wretched Radio. Send your stuff that you identify as wretched to idea@wretched.org. Text away 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Randall. Todd, a Baptist church near my house is holding a revival every night this week. And they gave away a Nintendo Switch
last night. We know something.
What's that?
We know that Randall doesn't live in the South.
Why?
Because that isn't remarkable. That's just everybody's having a revival at every Baptist church, and they're giving away what, Nintendo?
They gave away a Nintendo Switch.
That's one way to lure them in.
Oh, but it's not over. Tonight, they're giving away a brand new Ford truck.
What kind?
Ford
F-150.
Oh, he just says
I'd go to that revival. I might even walk the altar or the aisle to get to that lottery.
Who knows what else they're going to give away the rest of the week. But he says, my wife, kids, and I left that church back in 2008 over similar issues. We still have friends in the church and wonder if we should approach them with this. And if so, how?
I think that I would do a little studying of the landscape. Where are you at in your relationship? Where are they at in progressing and understanding maybe that the church is a little bit wonky? But would I would weigh all of those things, and then I'd ask, is this the issue? Would this be a hill that I would like to die on? I don't think personally I would. This is bad ecclesiology. I could critique this. We have critiqued this for years. This bait and switch, this using giveaway, come and win a Ford F-150. Maybe like 10% of them will stick around and actually start coming to church. Well, what you win them with is what you got to keep them with. And I think the entire idea of doing these type of giveaways to the community for the sake of gathering a crowd, it's at the very least a bad idea. Is it heresy? Don't think we can say that. That's why I would be more inclined to take a look at the church dogma. Are they preaching the essentials? And I mean preaching, not saying that they adhere to a faith statement that you can find online. Are they actually practicing what they claim to believe? That's what I'd be focusing on. How's the preaching? How's the teaching? Where's their theology? Because I think that that is just more solid ground for you to bring legitimate concerns and accusations about a church. And I hope you win the truck. 877-282-2337.
I hope next year it's not something bigger.
I tell you, if I could like bibbidi bobbidi boo and have a vehicle, it would be a Ford F-150. That's a good looking truck. Just better. And I they're better than Dodge Rams. Sorry, Dodge Ram fans. The GMC, none of them. They're just that Ford F-150. And that is why, who at the Ford Automobile Company made the decision to turn the Ford F-150 into an electric vehicle? I mean, honestly, do you not know who buys these things? 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from William. It's a text. Hi, what do you think about, it's kind of along the same line. What do you think about a church selling merch? Like t-shirts and sweaters and clothing with the church's branding on it?
Yeah, it depends. Now, we don't see a Bible verse prohibiting that. What's the motivation? Why are they doing it? Is there anything behind it that's nefarious? What's the messaging? And if there's nothing that's overtly sinful, it's not shady in any regard, maybe isn't my favorite thing, but I don't think that I would call it a sin. We see merchant, like Christian shirts. Some of them can actually be quite good. There's somebody who does Christian shirts. I get their emails. Wow. I should know. It's like, is it Missional?
Missional Wear, I think. Yeah.
Something like that. I've seen some cool stuff there. I don't think there's anything wrong with those things. But if a church is kind of setting it up in a marketplace and they're not just, it crosses the line of turning the Father's house into a place of merchandise for the sake of profit, that would be problematic. Short of that, 877-282-2337. What?
Nothing. I was just, I agree with you. I agree with you for once. So this next one is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I've been seeing this girl for a few years now, and I'm wondering if I should end the relationship.
Let me think. Oh, wait, we need more details.
Yeah, we're constantly at odds over just about anything. And since I've become a Christian, I've started to doubt that she's actually a Christian, as she claims. When we first met, she seemed to be bearing fruit, though I wasn't a Christian then. But now her life doesn't really reflect Christian behavior. And whenever I bring this up, she explodes. Mm-hmm. Should I continue the relationship or just move on?
I think you need to define where you're at and ask yourself the question, where is this going? Then get ready for this. I would encourage you, engage your families. Don't get engaged. Engage your families. What do they think about it? What does your church family think about it? How do they assess the dynamic of the relationship? You've got to have full communication with her, and then you need to bring others in to help you make correct assessments. And that goes for both of you, by the way. So if you're at odds now on all of these things and you're on different pages, especially if it's theologically, especially if you're concerned that the individual is not saved, well, you shouldn't be advancing toward marriage. You want to work these things out. So that means, guess what? You're going to have to put yourselves in the friend zone, which is precisely where you should have been all along, frankly, that you remain friends. Now, you can have conversations about the potential of marriage, what that might look like as friends. But that's the only license that you have for a relationship with a young lady. You can befriend her. There just isn't a biblical category for engagement. Nevertheless, I would encourage you, do a little time out wherever you're at, wherever this thing has progressed, and say, let's sort this. Let's get families involved. Let's get our elders involved. Because if we're going to get married, We need to have harmony in our home. We want peace. I want it. You want it. How would we raise our kids? We need to sort through this and then do that. And if she protests and doesn't want to do that, well, then you probably have your answer too. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Hannah. Todd, what are some practical ways a church body can pursue fellowship around our differences and stop or curb grouping ourselves according to sameness?
Read 1 Corinthians. And and be scolded by it. Don't form cliques. Don't form factions. I read an article. Somebody did it last. I didn't bring it into the studio, but it was they called it not factions, but like our territories and how we divide over things that are not worthy of division. Yeah. They're saved, but do you know where they stand on tariffs? Okay, that just shouldn't be what divides us. But these days it does. And so we need to watch out for unnecessary division. Simultaneously, there are times to divide, but those are over the essential issues, or it could be a physical division simply because of the practicality of working out differences in understanding doctrines. So I think that we all need to take a word from Paul. Don't be breaking yourself into this camp and that camp over this issue and that issue. Having said that, we know that there can be times, so as long as we're clear on that, truth does divide, but there are so many things that are dividing us unnecessarily. It is perhaps, I'm trying to think of another trend that is actually more pernicious than the trend of the unnecessary division that is currently happening inside of conservative Bible teaching brothers and sisters. This is Wretched Radio.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is giving. All Christians are commanded to give, but God has given some an extra measure of generosity so that they can give generously
knowing that God will provide for them as they work to provide for the needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, and love. Foster love. This is Wretched Radio. If you want to put the kibosh on divisions in your churches, love. That is the cure. When we genuinely love one another, we will overlook a multitude of sins. We will not put the worst construction on everything. We will overlook a number of things. If you don't love somebody, you just shade it. If they're just not your favorite person, the way that they said that kind of gets up my nose. But if you love that person, it's like, oh, I think that was fine. No, that didn't bother me. Why? Because love overlooks all of those things. We know that there are times to divide over essentials and just some practical practices, but the carping and the dividing and the fighting and the fissions that are not necessary because they aren't essential, we've got to work hard to get rid of them. And the best way that you can do that and put fertilizer on faction busting is to promote love. How do you do that? I think it has to come from the pulpit. I think it has to come also from what is being taught and how things are being taught in Sunday school. Right now at Alpharetta Bible Church, we're getting really close to starting a biblical counseling center. Super excited about this. It's going to be, well, what it said, a biblical counseling center under the auspices of the church. Was talking to the gang at Low Country Biblical Counseling there in South Carolina. And Tim said something that I knew about preaching and teaching, but it caught my attention when he talked about the need to make sure that the counselors of a counseling center all have the same goal. In other words, that they've all determined in advance when we bring somebody in to counsel them, we have an aim. And if you don't define that mark, you're going to miss it. So what would be the aim of biblical counseling? Well, we're kind of wrestling through it. And I think that there can be multiple aims because you could argue for different ways of phrasing some of these elements. But what do we want in biblical counseling? We want people to love the Lord more. We want people to grow in godliness. We want people to glorify the Lord. We want people to be relishing the guidance that the Bible gives us so that we can be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. All right, if you forget that, what are you going to do? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, look at this verse. You got to apply, put off, put on. You got to start doing this and stop doing that. Take a look at this Bible verse. Your theology is a little bit wonky. You'll do biblical counseling, but without an objective, it typically is going to fall short. And I think the same thing is true with preaching and teaching. I believe preaching and teaching should foster our love for God. That's what it should do. Now, we do that through theological, didactic teaching. That's true. You gotta have that, by the way, because if you don't have facts, then your emotions are going to be wonky. So truth needs to precede our emotions. So we don't get away from teaching, but if the aim of the teaching, the goal of the teaching is not to grow us all in love, then we're going to miss the mark. So that is why if your church is experiencing a lot of divisions, that could be the chief reason that love is not being fostered. I would add, I can think of a second reason, and that is you don't have a shared hermeneutic. You're not interpreting the Bible the same way. And so that could be causing division. Either way, get on the same page regarding hermeneutics and start fostering love. It will help erase the divisions and keeping the factions from happening. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Matthew. Todd, do you consider a small group, prayer group, or Bible study together to be the local church? Or would you consider a local church one that has a pastor and or elders?
Yeah, a church has to have elders. Has to. Now, can you do it in a home setting? Sure, I think you can do that. You want to make sure that the elders are qualified. I've always said it just doesn't take long in a home church for it to become a church. It's a practical outworking of a healthy organism. You start to have more people coming. Like, we can't fit in our house. You got a bigger house. Hey, what about that family? We could do it in your garage. You got that barn out back. We could do it there. And the next thing you know, you're looking for space. And you're looking to lease at the Holiday Inn or at the high school. So I think that inevitably those things will actually end up there if they are growing. But you need to have what the Bible says makes up a church. So you've got to have elders. I think that you've got to have Bible teaching. You need to have regulated worship that's taking place. You need to have the Lord's table and baptisms. You need to be able to practice church discipline. Those are the elements that make up a church. So can you do it in a home setting? Yeah. Now, a small group, I think, is simply an outworking of a local church, but it's not a local church in and of itself, unless, of course, it has those aforementioned elements. Without it, it's a small group. Jimmy, are you in a small group?
Am I in a small group? Yeah. Yes, I do. I teach a small group.
Do you really? Now, see, this is precisely why we shouldn't gamble. I would have lost that bet.
I didn't even know you're Christian, Jimmy.
No, what? Is that the mark of being saved? Is you're in a small group?
No.
I just didn't pick you for a small group kind of guy.
Yeah.
How many people get together?
Oh, man, it's different from week to week. But and when I say small group, it's a group of men. I teach a group of men on Saturday mornings. But I guess it is a smaller group. Yeah.
Who are these men?
These are the men of my church.
And what are we teaching these men at your church?
How to be a man. No.
You know that you just set that right up on a tee for me.
Yeah, no.
And I just didn't take a swing because I could have.
So right now.
And you're teaching them?
I am.
Sorry, I couldn't. I tried.
So we've been, the main goal and purpose is, you know, teaching them, discipling them to be leaders and to begin discipling others. But man, we've spent the last year and a half in spiritual growth.
Hey, what is the name of Charlie's podcast?
White Harvest.
White Harvest. Okay, so where you Spotify, whatever, go find the White Harvest podcast. Charlie Parrish, Jimmy's pastor who hosts it. His guest was Jimmy. And dude, the link you sent me, again, I still can't fast forward on it. I got 16 minutes into your story. He's interviewing Jimmy and it's really good. And your testimony and your conversion story. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm in. But I had to stop. And then whatever the thing that I was using, just I had to go back to the beginning. Well, so use the Spotify or the Google or the Apple.
Yeah, you know most of it anyway.
But I was enjoying it. I love testimonies. They just remind you, oh, God is at work. The world isn't revolving around me. He's working in the lives of other people. It's really good. Jimmy, we had a small group sort of on Wednesday night.
Okay.
Oh, it was so fun. We went bowling. That's right. We went bowling. You know, that church activity that's in the Bible someplace. That bowling was, we just, all the young adults came, had such a good time. And okay, just because I wouldn't put my feet into shoes that have been worn by 800 other people. So guess what I got to do? I got to be with Sadie. A couple brought their baby and they were bowling and it's like, I'll take that. Oh, did I have fun, dude. I just got to dote on her for like an hour, whatever it was. Just absolutely delightful time. It was such a good time. It was just getting together. Now, all it did was just strengthen us and our bond. It wasn't, though, biblically speaking, fellowship, unless, of course, we were there talking about Jesus. We were just there having a good time together, and that can strengthen your bond. Why? Because it grows us in love for one another. And that helps to avoid factions. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I was recently asked my opinion of an individual and made it known that I have a less than favorable view of them because I overheard them talking negatively about me on more than one occasion.
And there's a lot going on there. Okay, I'm tracking, I think.
I feel as though I've engaged in gossip. I've prayed on this and repented and would like some advice on how I may rectify this because I'm at a bit of a loss on how to move forward.
Well, clean up your mess. If that's what you've done, then who heard it? If you just gossip to one person, well, then you've got to go to that person and repent of that. But when you do go to that person, did you share this with anybody else? Because you're responsible for that too. This is the old feather pillow story. This beaten sermon illustration about gossip. The woman was gossiping. Somebody was gossiping, causing all kinds of problems in the church, which gossip does. Oh, man, is it corrosive. Very few things can wreck a church quite like gossip. And so the pastor's trying to, you know, who's been doing this, finds out it's Glenda, brings Glenda in to explain to her why she needs to stop gossiping. And she doesn't receive his counsel well, which makes her a proverbial fool. So he grabs a bed pillow. Don't ask me where he got it. It's a sermon illustration. He goes up on top of the building with Glenda into the thing, you know, the tower that they happen to have at their church. And he cuts open the pillowcase and he just sprays the feathers out into the air and they go flying. And he said, "Would you go pick those up for me, Glenda?" "I can't pick those up." "Exactly." And that is the problem with gossip. You spread it, you can't pick it up. So do your best to clean up your mess and let it serve as a lesson. Gossip in the church has got to go. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.